This is The First Sentinel, written by BFH Wants Blood, read by Mistborn Hero. A No Place Perfect rated for mature audiences, it features the relationship Caris Trama de Reisel and Frankenstein. It is tagged for Sentinel and the Guide. People say sentinels can't live without a guide, that they are just animals that need a keeper or a guide, as they call them. Most sentinels without a guide indeed go crazy by the time they turn 25. Frankenstein didn't blame them at all. The color, smells, and sounds from hundreds of meters away, all going on in their heads. The way their skin was so sensitive that they could feel the dust land on them, or the way rough clothes felt like sandpaper. He had never been an ordinary sentinel. Not only was Frankenstein one of the first to ever exist, but he was the oldest, as far as he knew. Sentinels and guides first started in the village of his birth. It had been ruled over by a man who seemed to know their very thoughts. It was on his 10th winter that everything changed. That was the winter that he became a sentinel. Not that they were called that at the time. His head would throb with the sounds of the village, feel disgusted at the dust and grime covering him. Sometimes it would all get so much that he would curl up, crying and screaming at them to stop. Mother thought he had gone mad. So had father. They had changed houses, moving out to the edge of the village, away from the eyes of the other villagers. He had found it a little more bearable after that. When they left the house to work, he would leave and head for the woods, stripping off the clothes that made his skin feel like it was on fire, once he was far enough that he couldn't hear any people. The woods were peaceful, not quiet, but when the wind was still, all he could hear was the quiet steps of a nearby animal, or the stream west of the village. For 3 seasons, he had lived like that, until one night he had watched from the sleeping room door as the man who ruled the village came in and drank his mother dry. He didn't just see him drink her blood, but heard her heart grow weaker as he swallowed her blood. That sound took over his head, made him want to scream with how intense it got. He didn't know what happened next, but when he next opened his eyes, the man was dead, his head lying next to his mother's body. The knife mother had been using for meal preparation was in his hand. Frankenstein tried not to pay attention to the fact that it was now covered in blood. That was his first mutant kill. He was both relieved and worried to be living with this noble who had been able to send family leaders away. Who was this noble to hold such power? The relief won over the worry, because for the first time since he was a child, he could be in a room with someone without wanting to kill the person, to kill them just to stop the noise they make, from the clothes that move when they do, their loud breathing, or even their heartbeats that changed with their thoughts. Nobles didn't do things like that. It just seemed so beneath them to make more noise than needed. He watched the noble who took him in, this being that was the first one in years to show him such kindness, to not send him away for his differences, for the times he would go quiet for days at a time, or for the times he would just sit in the noble's room, just so he would have someone there. Frankenstein shook his head and put his focus back on the noble he called Master. Master, I have brought tea. He breathed in through his mouth as he normally did when there was a strong smell present, such as the tea he was carrying. But it was a small price to pay to be spending time with this being. The ebony-haired noble turned from his spot by the window where he spent a majority of his day. There was no sound, not even his footstep. The lack of sound had taken Frankenstein a few days to get used to. It had felt so wrong at first, but now he was glad for the lack of noise. The noble just nodded before taking his seat. Frankenstein poured the tea into the two cups before sitting back. Even breathing through his mouth, he knew the tea didn't smell bad, but he watched Master to see what he thought. The slight surprise in his expression as the smell registered, the slight hint of roses that a normal human or a guide wouldn't have picked up, but Frankenstein knew a noble would, just like he did. His chest swelled with pride, slightly, as Master looked pleased after a sip. It was then that he allowed himself to relax back to drink his tea. 6 months ago, he wouldn't have imagined being around anyone who wasn't a prisoner, let alone being in a place so full of life, but not always being at a knife's edge away from a zone. Not needing to keep an eye on his every thought, just to catch himself before he fixated on something. Master's eyes fixed on him before he looked to the teapot and back again. Frankenstein smiled, and Master smiled back as he poured him another cup. Yes, this was so much better than the isolation that had plagued him for most of his life. It all became too much as the necklace was pulled out. The very sight of it had him fixate on it. On the sound of the chain as it swung, the sound of the wind hitting metal, the rain hitting that metal and running down to fall to the floor. How the wind moved through the trees or his hair. It all got too much, and his mind just left his body standing in front of the Orcai, who may just end up ending this existence of his. The noise didn't disappear. If anything, it just got more everything. His hands clamped over his ears and he curled up. He needed to break away from the noise, but the chain sounded again, bringing him back even as a small part of him screamed that he was at the start of the zone. It had all begun going so well till now, till that bloody necklace. The sounds around him roared with his rage as his body locked in place. The chain moved as another drop of rain hit it. He needed to calm down if he was ever going to get out of this. The nobles wouldn't be able to help him with his mental shields in the way. They might not even know what was going on. What would Ragar be thinking? Will the assassin be panicking? He managed a small smile at the thought, which made the noise drop a fraction. How long would it be this time? Would it take him weeks again? It had taken that last time. He was just lucky that he had been at a safe house in the middle of nowhere. It was also lucky that he had been modified enough that going without food so long only meant losing a little muscle tone. A hand on his shoulder made him flinch at the suddenness. His head snapped up to look at the noble he had been living with for the past few years. How did he get here? Was he here? Frankenstein. He took in the note of concern, but when Frankenstein opened his mouth to speak, nothing would come out. Why was he acting so stupid? Rage at himself rushes up, causing the noise around him to roar once more. He wants to move and bury his head to drown out the noise. Master's hands slide to cup his face as his voice rings out, seeming to drown out the rest of the noise. Frankenstein, be calm. Everything just stopped and fell into silence as he lets out a breath in relief before finally managing to speak. Thank you. Frankenstein smiles at him, and Master smiles back. His eyes finally roamed the room, taking in where they were. The off-white floor and lav-white walls made Master look so washed out. He stood, grabbing his hand and tugging him from the corridor and through the Hall of Sins. Next, they headed straight into the Corridor of Memories. He glanced at every door, even though he didn't need to. He already knew exactly where the door was, but it was something to do. The door he wanted came into view, and he reached out to push it open. The flood of color didn't threaten to overwhelm him, but it still made him pause. Grass covered the ground apart from the raised beds, which contained one of every flower he knew. There was no smell, and he knew there wouldn't be one until someone touched one of the flowers. He didn't move to touch one. Instead, he guided the noble with him to the bench where they both took a seat. He had to look up to see the noble's face, but Frankenstein couldn't find it in himself to be embarrassed about looking like his 8-year-old self. He was so small that he would have been able to fit quite comfortably in the noble's lap. He would probably be able to rest his head on his. Before he finished the thought, arms lifted him up, and he found himself in his lap. He froze for a moment before smiling and leaning back into his shoulder. They sat like that, as minutes turned to hours, neither one in a hurry to leave. Chapter 2. The new bond between Master and him seemed to help. It wasn't like it was all turned down. It was just easier to turn his attention from things to the bond. Like, the entire world now revolved around the connection between them. With a knock on the door, he entered and smiled at the ebony-haired noble that he now belonged to. "Master, I have tea for us." Master didn't say anything, just soundlessly moved to take a seat. Frankenstein's steps were almost as quiet when he set the tray down and sat opposite to him. After pouring first Master's, then his, he settled back to watch as Master took his first sip. He saw the surprise in his eyes, followed by pleasure. This was the first time drinking this particular type of tea. Taking a breath in, he picked up the smell of peppermint from the tea. It was a secret pleasure of his, since the bond, to be able to enjoy such strong smells. It was something that he had been sure he would never be able to do. Master smiled at him, giving him a knowing look, but didn't comment. His smile was so beautiful, it seemed to light up his face, the way the light shone on that porcelain skin and those perfect cheekbones. "Frankenstein," it was whispered across the bond. He blinked and felt his cheeks hit as he realized what he had been doing. Turning his eye to the window, he let his eyes focus on the leaves on the tree as he spoke. "Master, I will be out training with Ragnar today. If you need me, please feel free to call for me." A slight breath, leaving Master, had his eyes flashing back to him. Master didn't make that sound unless he considered that someone was doing something slightly not good. Did Master not want him to go to train with Ragnar? Master was back to focusing on his tea in a way that said he wouldn't be explaining the action. He would have to keep an eye out so he could figure out what had caused that. Once his tea finished, he refilled Master's cup before standing and leaving, taking his empty cup with him. Ragnar and Frankenstein broke apart, both of them looking worse off than when they started.
"Frankenstein, you still managed to surprise me with your strength."
The look he sent was asking if he had been hiding it the whole time. The real reason was that he could focus more on his senses on the battle, now that zoning wasn't a problem. It was the way the air moved around, and the slightest sound of the wind moving over him as he went to attack that helped with dodging more of his attacks. Thank you. I still have a long way to go.
Frankenstein didn't need to glance down at his hand to know that blood coated the palm. The dark spear would never give up.
I do as well. Same time in 3 days?
Frankenstein grinned.
Sounds good. Maybe we can convince that old man to join us.
The blonde noble let out a sigh. Even though he gave a small smile that equated a full Frankenstein smirk.
I can check and see if Gejutel will be available. Till next time.
Ragar headed off in the blur of speed that Caretia were known for. The trek back to the mansion was slower, due to his still healing body, but uneventful. No nobles came to see him, and he managed to stumble across some wild roses, which was a treat, as his roses were not quite right for picking. Glancing up as he approached the mansion, he couldn't help but smile as he saw Master. He was standing by the window, sunlight shining on him, making him glow. It was amazing that he could just stand there and take in his beauty. Let his eyes focus on how the light affected his stunning crimson eyes. Frankenstein had to blink as he realized that Master had caught him staring. A blush covered his cheeks as he made himself continue into the mansion. Who knew it was harder to not lose himself when he didn't have to worry about the zone? This was stupid. He needed to hurry up and stop being so shocked at how Master looked. It was, most likely, making Master uncomfortable having him watch him. Frankenstein already knew that Master didn't like it when the nobles treated him like he was some god. He should be able to control himself better. Giving a little shake, he headed down into the kitchen. Dinner was not going to make itself. It had been the 11th sunrise since the bond with Frankenstein, and since then, Raisel had noticed an increase in the amount of time Frankenstein looked at him. Before the bond, Frankenstein had only ever looked at him to gauge his reaction to something. He had seemed to avoid looking at him any other time. He had gotten the feeling that it had something to do with how fast his mind worked. Now he found Frankenstein staring at him, and he could feel through the bond that it pleased him to do so. It had left him with questions as to why, but he would not use the bond to find out. That would be breaking the small amount of privacy between them, and he wouldn't do that to Frankenstein. So, time after time, he gazed back at him, hoping he would say why. If Frankenstein told him why, then he may be able to help him if he needed something. That had turned out to be the wrong approach, as now, whenever he realized he had been caught staring, his bonded would hurry to leave the room. A sigh left him as he heard Frankenstein coming up the steps. What was he going to do? If he didn't do something, Frankenstein may withdraw even more, and it would be like his first few days here when he had rarely come to visit him. Raisel didn't turn from the window when his bonded entered. The cloud cover was just right today, and it let through a gentle warmth. It was days like today that Frankenstein seemed to prefer to do his gardening. It was always quite a sight to see those blonde curls tied back and still seeming to fall so perfectly, the way the warm light would still make his tanned skin glow. That one time that Frankenstein had done something so human, when he removed his shirt, it had made his cheeks heat, and he had had to turn his eyes to the sky just to keep from watching how his muscles moved. Beautiful. It was barely a breath across the bond, and he would have ignored it if he hadn't seen the image of himself in it. Raziel just stood in front of the window, bathed in sunlight. Turning, he smiled at Frankenstein. The blush that colored Frankenstein's cheeks drew his eyes as his bonded placed his tray down. Raziel moved without thinking. He stood as he approached. so it was easy to reach up to cup his cheek in the hopes of feeling that heat. You are beautiful. His eyes darted around as he stuttered for the first time since arriving at the mansion. Master, disbelief showed in his eyes when they finally focused. You are the most beautiful being I have ever had the pleasure of laying my eyes on. Your mind is such a treasure to feel through the bond, and it is my honor to have your thoughts directed at me. His blush darkened as he smiled. You must have never looked in a mirror, as you are much more stunning than me. They both seemed to move for the bond at the same time, as warmth flowed through to him as he sent it to his bonded. They stood there and just enjoyed being in the presence of the one they loved. The end. This has been recorded for ITPE 2024 as a treat for God of Laundry Baskets. Thank you for listening, I hope you enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.